So this is going to be sort of a very different take on large-scale logging and monitoring. To talk about a system called Chakwa, which I've been sort of one of the developers of for the last few years. I'm giving the talk, but I want to also just acknowledge all the other people who've contributed code, data, experiences, and so forth. So, previous talks have been about doing sort of very particular kinds of log analyses. And to this, I just want to add that there's like a lot of other things people do with logs. In addition to sort of monitoring and debugging, there's sort of a large line of work in doing machine learning to detect anomalies, of which we saw one example today. And of course, everyone does web log analysis, right? And a not very shocking observation is that all these things are easier if the logs are centralized, that rather than having your logs striped out across, you know, several hundred or several thousand machines, you'd really like them in one logical place, right? You want some kind of at least logical centralization. And so Chakwa really is designed to sort of follow up on that. We've made three real bets. The first of which is that if you're doing this at scale, if you have, you know, terabytes or petabytes of data, you need MapReduce. The second is that you actually need reliability. And by this, I mean that you care about losing data, and it's worth going to some trouble to really get all of it, because there are some analyses which are very sensitive to missing data. There's a log analysis that I believe Rackspace developed a few years ago where they're looking at email in transit through their mail servers, and an alarm goes off if they have a, you know, I sent a message to machine X and no received. Right. So in that case, if the received message got lost, an alarm would go off. And so it's really important to like get every piece of your logs and not lose any. And the last bet we made is that we should be using Hadoop and not rewriting the storage and processing layers. Just a note about the logo and the name. In Hindu myth, Chakwa is the turtle that holds up the elephant that holds up the world. Hadoop's logo is the elephant, so we thought the turtle was really appropriate for us because it was sort of one of the original targets we had was actually monitoring Hadoop. Let me tell you a little bit about Hadoop for those of you who haven't sort of experienced it. It's a distributed MapReduce implementation and distributed file system modeled closely on the Google file system and Google MapReduce. We really wanted to use it. It has a bunch of really big pluses. It's highly scalable, it's highly robust, it's standard, and it has good integrity. It doesn't lose data. It has some quirks. The model, which it shares with the Google file system, is files are really big. That, you know, all metadata is kept in memory, which means that the number of files you can handle is bounded. It doesn't allow concurrent appends. Each file has only one writer at a time. When we started this, each file had only one writer ever. Once you close the file, that's it, it's done. And it had, particularly when we started this project, very weak synchronization semantics. The model of when data becomes visible after you write it is, sometime after you start writing, it might become visible, particularly after you close the file. So you don't have any strong guarantee about if you write it, it's visible immediately. So starting from this, that really shaped our sort of design model. We assume that you have like a whole lot of different kinds of data. We're interested in log files. You also have system metrics. You also have, you know, stuff coming in over syslog, what have you. And then we said, let's put a process in every machine to collect this. This process, among other things, is the thing that actually is tailing all your files and sort of pulling up that data. And the other thing it does for you is it adds metadata. Data then gets streamed out across the network to a collector process. You have maybe one per 100 nodes. Each collector is writing a file into this data sync in the distributed file system, which then gets archived. This stuff all happens in the distributed file system, and all this archiving is done with MapReduce. So the consequence is that sort of all the MapReduce-y Hadoopy bits are sort of behind the collectors. Everything in front of the collectors doesn't need to know about it. And then if you like, your MapReduce job can also dump stuff into a SQL database so that you can have, you know, fancy web visualizations pulling out of that. We've built this. You don't have to use it. There are many, most of the applications for it don't require this. I'm just telling you that this architectural option is open. This is not a system designed for all possible logging environments. There's a sort of specific performance envelope we're targeting. If you have not so many machines and not so much data per machine, you should just use NFS. Right? Having 10 machines share an NFS mount and write files to it, that works fine. If your data rate, which is what this sort of slanted line is sort of really measuring, these are sort of contours, a sort of constant total data rate, if that's big enough, you really want to be using something like Chakwa. Now, if you have a really high data rate per host, you don't need Chakwa. You should just have everybody write directly into this distributed file system. HDFS can tolerate really high sort of aggregate data rates, terabytes per second, if you like, if you have enough spindles. If you have a really high data rate, you don't actually need Chakwa. You have a bigger problem. Your problem is that either you have an enormous degree of fan-in, or else that you have an enormous data rate and you need a different file system, right? There are people who do high-performance computing for which this is not adequate. If you're there in the middle, this is a thing that you could use. One of the, by the way, other consequences about the architecture that we care about is that it respects boundaries. right? I showed you the pipeline before. It actually partitions fairly naturally into the system being monitored and the monitoring system. And this boundary is kept small, and it's kept well-defined. And this matters because, for instance, if you are running this on a production system, you really cannot afford to have the monitoring workload interfering with your production system. People who run front-end stuff told us, you know, you cannot do MapReduce on my machine. I own that server. It's not yours. And so the consequence is that we want to say, OK, once we pull the data off your machine, we'll never come back to your machine, and you know, you can go on doing your thing. And it's just one agent process, so you can use all the sort of standard quota techniques, and we have sort of quotas on how much bandwidth it uses. So you can really keep this controlled. And so this is production friendly. Just a few things it isn't. There's all these systems like Ganglia and Amazon CloudWatch that are in the business of collecting metrics. We are not primarily in the business of collecting metrics. We're in the business of collecting logs. And the reason this distinction matters is that if you have a graph of CPU utilization over time and you're missing a data point, life goes on, you can guess what it was. You can average it. You can summarize it. Metrics have this very nice sort of structure to them. Log data, in general, has no such structure. And we assume that every log message is valuable to you, and we should keep all of them. And we cannot summarize, and we cannot aggregate. We just collect everything reliably. Right? So this means it really is in a different space. And sort of very different architectural concerns apply. Also, we are assuming much higher data rates. I said logs. I've said it a couple times. We really like logs because they have sort of a couple nice properties. To a first approximation, if you write a log entry to disk, it will always appear on disk. It will never block. It will never crash. It's possible to run out of space. It's really rare. And in fact, reads are actually quick because the file system caches stuff. Just in contrast, for instance, it turns out that some kernels drop UDP packets if things are busy and they don't tell you. It just mysteriously loses your data. And when we started building this, the people whose systems we were going to monitor told us it's utterly unacceptable to use TCP because we're afraid your system will crash and then ours will block. Our system must never block. No TCP. So, okay, no TCP. And so the consequence is that we made this pluggable. You can use anything you like to send in data. We have support for syslog. We have other UDP. You can do Java messaging system queues, anything you like. But we really were focused on files on disk, and that's the thing we tuned for. Among other things, this is really works well with our reliability strategy. We assume agents crash. It's a fact of life. And then you will get respawned by something. And so each agent is continuously recording how much data from each source has been written successfully. Right? You keep track of what data have you sent and committed, and what data has been sent but not committed. If you crash, that data might get lost. That's okay. The agent will eventually resume, and then we can just fix up any duplicates later. So that stuff that wasn't committed before, we're just going to resend. And someone else will fix it. What about collector crashes? We actually handle those in a very different way. We want to, in particular, I mentioned earlier that HDFS has these weak consistency semantics. Here's how we're going to deal with that. We're going to use a technique we call asynchronous ACKs. So you should imagine there's three tiers. There's the agents where the data comes from. There's the collectors, which are sort of merging these different streams and dealing with the file system. And then there's the file system itself. So you have some data which gets sent to the collector. The collector is only working on one file at a time. All the data gets merged into one giant file per time bucket. And since the collector knows what data it has, that's the right place to do sequencing. So it can just say, your data is at byte offset 3000. And then it writes the data. Sometime later, it will check, how big is that file really? And it'll get told, OK, the length of the file is now 3000, which means, aha, the data was written. So when the agent shows up to query and say, well, did you write my data? We can check. And the answer is, yes, the file has reached this length. Your data has been written. So OK, and then it commits. Right? So the basic insight here is that we're going to tell people right up front where their data will be written, if it does get written. And then they can check later on, did that write succeed? And so this is really exploiting the fact that there's only ever one writer per file. That's guaranteed by the file system, and we're really using that guarantee. It becomes a feature, not a bug, as it were. There's another trick we can do. All the data flows through collectors. Sometimes you don't want to wait for the file system. You can connect to a collector and say, give me all the data from this machine of this data type. And that will set up a filter. And then as data chunks go past, you look for ones that match these rules. And then you sort of hand it off across a network socket. And this is really sort of a very different delivery model. And I want to just give you both of them so you can see what we offer. The standard path is your data will be visible within minutes. 2 minutes, maybe, depending on sort of tunable, sort of how often you sort of roll over and close files. This path is data is visible in seconds. The robust model is everything gets written into the file system. This is whatever you told us to hand you. So, you know, different people can have different filters, and you can ask for your data, and I can ask for mine. The model here, again, is to support things like, you know, alarms. And this is stored to HDFS, whereas this just goes over a socket. This is resent after crashes. This is just handed to them at most once. If the socket breaks, that's it, it broke. And they can reconnect if they want more data. This is for MapReduce. This is for real-time monitoring. This is bulk analysis. This is graphing and such like. This infrastructure all looks kind of heavy. What does it cost? It doesn't actually cost you very much. We have this benchmark called Cloudstone. It's an increasingly standard benchmark for sort of web-oriented things. We ran it with and without Chukwa on EC2. We discovered we couldn't measure the difference. But we were able to tell you statistically it's less than 3%, which we thought was okay. We've been told that there's this magic number of people are willing to spend 5% of the resources on monitoring. We said 3%, good enough. Again, you're going to ask about collection rates. We tested it on EC2. We could do 30 megabytes per second per collector. At the time we did this, about a year ago, that was what you got from the disks on those EC2 instances. EC2 may have changed over time. You know, your mileage may vary. It was saturating disks at the time. And you can always add more collectors. If you add more, it scales up linearly. We can handle very large aggregate data rates. The system is real. It's in use. We use it at Berkeley to monitor experiments we run in the cloud. Other people out in industry are using it to monitor weblogs. That turned out to be, much to our surprise, the killer app is people who have these, you know, biggish Apache deployments, and they need to collect their logs and do analytics, and they want that to go around every 10 minutes. And they said this is the great tool for us because Apache does its logging, and we don't want to change it. We just want to scoop those logs up and look at them, and this is a tool for scooping and looking. Good. There are other sites that use it too. I just got like a code contribution earlier today from VeriSign. I didn't know VeriSign was using it, but apparently somebody there found a bug and submitted a patch, so apparently they're using it. We don't have a census. Let me contrast it with a few other things out there. I mentioned Ganglia and other network monitoring systems. They're really in a different space. The model there is you have a small amount of data from each host, you can tolerate losses, so you want to keep overhead very low, and you use UDP. Often the amount of metadata on each data sample is quite small. You just get told, here's a number, here's a tag for that number, and the model is entirely push, that, you know, data just gets handed to the system, which then records it and summarizes it. There's Scribe, which is a log collection system built at Facebook. The model for Scribe is it's this service you connect to over a remote procedure call, and you hand it key value pairs, and it pushes them through the pipe. A nice thing about this is you can sort of control it in a decentralized way. One of the problems with it is there's no real crash recovery. The crash recovery model is you hope you have another server configured. If you don't have another server configured, data lands on the floor. And there's no real metadata spec, it's just keys and values, which means that if you want to write a sort of standardized rule for how to, you know, do some kind of aggregation or processing, you need to sort of pick your own metadata standard and convince the world to use it. We thought that was really unappealing, we picked our own, and we tell you up front, you know, these are some metadata fields we'll record for you. And one of the benefits of this architecture here is that the agent process is really a centralized place at which you can impose this. The agent knows sort of what is the data type for every data stream it's handling. It knows how much data, it knows where along, and it knows when it was collected. So we can standardize all that. Recently, Cloudera has built a system called Flume. Flume looks an awful lot like Chukwa, right down to the terminology. The main difference is they wanted to do centralized control, so their model is there's like a giant zookeeper resilient database in the sky that stores the state of everything. We thought it was better to make this decentralized so that if you are a production service that has some logs you want to collect, you can connect to your local agent and say, scoop this up for me. And you don't need to touch the rest of the system. You don't need to know about the rest of the system. You just need to know how to find the agent on that machine, which is nice if, for instance, you have security policies that try and separate the front end and the back end. There's that. Where are we going with this? Well, it'd be nice to tighten security. Right now, we've been kind of lackadaisical about this. This thing grew up in highly controlled data centers where you don't need to worry about it because you have firewalls that keep everything from the outside world out. So, for instance, we don't encrypt traffic. Everything is over HTTP, so it shouldn't be impossible to do, but we haven't done it yet. Adjustable durability, we are mostly aiming for strong guarantees. This is not always sort of what you need. It is possible to weaken these guarantees, and it would be nice to sort of have more explicit fine-grained control over that. We're working actively now to sort of do H-based storage for near real-time metrics displays, so that, for instance, as your logs go past, you can have a rule that sort of pulls out one field of one kind of log message, dumps it in a table, and then draws a graph. So that, you know, in near real time, you could know things about what is your system load, what is the load of this particular application, what are some sort of application-specific metrics that you only know about because it's in some syslog metric. It would be nice if this were really friendly, and we're moving towards that. Indexing is a very natural fit for this. Indexing is sort of one of the canonical examples of things that play nice with MapReduce. So it would be nice to have that built in as a standard thing. It's an open source project. If you have other ideas, we'd love to hear them. We'd love it even more if you implemented it. Just to summarize, this is a distributed log collection system that is practical. People really use it. It's scalable. It builds on Hadoop for storage and processing. So it has been tested at, you know, very large data rates, hundreds of megabytes per second, gigabytes per second. It's reliable. We are able to handle multiple concurrent failures without losing or mangling data. We have tested this. It really works. And it's open source. It used to be a Hadoop subproject. It's currently in the Apache Software Foundation incubator en route to being a top-level project. We're the only thing named Chakwa out there, so if you Google for it, you'll find us. Thought that was more stable than giving a URL. And at that point, I think I'm ready to take questions.
I'm wondering about the applicability of this to non-cloud projects.
So most of our users are not, strictly speaking, cloud, right? It's in use in sort of people who do sort of high-traffic websites, right? Selective Media is an advertising company. And the model they have is, you know, we look at a lot of logs. And they're not based in the cloud. They're based on, you know, in a couple racks in a data center somewhere. Right? And I mean, we use it to monitor our local systems at Berkeley, which aren't in the cloud. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it was designed to be cloud friendly. Right? One of the sort of ways we've been using it is where you stick the system being monitored in the cloud, and then all the data is beamed home. The benefit of this being that you can have these very highly elastic cloud things that grow from 0 to 800 machines and then down, and all the data got archived someplace centrally where, you know, the machines are always on. Right, so it's cloud-friendly, but I don't want to say that it's exclusively cloud or very heavily tuned to the cloud or that it isn't just fine outside the cloud.
So it's conceivable that we could use this for normal logging?
Yes.
And the big question I have is that you contrast between two different query modes, one of which is robust and the other of which is quick.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that most queries are in the middle. That you have a filtration, you have some concept of filtration, mm-hmm. but you also have some concept of time-bound. Now, these two seem to be radical extremes of what is a spectrum, mm-hmm. and I wonder if you would comment on that spectrum and whether or not you can do things in the middle.
The real answer is no, you can't, and the reason why is as follows, which is we went to the people who we had who actually had log analysis and said, do you need something in the middle, and none of them said yes. Right, that it turns out that if you're doing log analysis, there's really two cases. Either it's important to get everything or it isn't. And if it's important to get everything, that will take time, because if something crashed, you have to wait for it. Right? So anything that requires reliable delivery, you simply must wait in order to tolerate, you know, delays. And if you need it right away, sorry, you won't have all the data. Right? So I don't believe this actually is simply a continuum. I think this is a hard and fast question of, are you willing to wait for data, or do you need to go now with whatever data you had? And if you are in the category of draw whatever you have, you should be on the, I guess that's the left-hand side, sorry, the right-hand side from your point of view. And if you're willing to wait, you're on the left.
Hmm. Is there any concept of how long you wait, or is it a tunable parameter?
No, because the question there is not how long the log collection system takes. It's when did the machine that crashed with your data wake up? And if a machine that's holding log data you need is down, you'll have to wait until it comes back, and we cannot make promises about that. Mm. The thing we can make promises about is from when data is handed to Chakwa, how long does it take before it becomes visible? And the answer is it's a couple of minutes. And this is tunable. The sort of trade-off here is basically how much load you want to put on the name node for your file system. That turns out to be a sort of single point of contention, and so the way you sort of make the scale up to really big systems is by not rotating your sort of sync files very often.
Yeah, at the risk of getting very technical, how do you guarantee that 2-minute limit?
This is basically how often we're sort of closing files and making them visible.
Ah.
And that is a high-cost operation, so you want to amortize it. But I mean, you can do that however often you like, and this is basically determined by how much load you want, you're willing to accept. Right? But that's a performance-tunable number, not a sort of complicated emergent phenomenon. You tell us a number, we can deliver.
All right. Any other questions? Let's thank our speaker. All right.